pictures the life of a child of God, life of the saved as being a child of God, which means that there is a relationship with God. If you do not have a relationship with God, then you have every reason to question whether or not you're really saved. Because a child of God has a relationship with the Father. Being a child of God also gives us a special enjoyment and a special experience of God that the unsaved do not have, that the unsaved do not possess. Gives us, being a child of God means that we have communion with God, which means we can share our burdens with God. God shares with us. It makes us the special object of His sustenance. God provides for all the world, but God especially provides and is a shepherd to His people. Being a child of God makes us the special object of His care. And it also makes us the special object of His education. That is, God trains us, God teaches us, God guides us. And He doesn't do this for everybody, but He does this for His children. Being a child of God puts us under the correction of God. Puts us under the correction, puts us under the discipline of God. And it makes us the special objects of His comfort. So we see in verses 1 and verse 2 that we are the sons of God. Now notice verse 2 and verse 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, that's assurance, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man, which would be the sons of God, every man that hath this hope, that is, the hope that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope in Him, again, this is a special hope. It's a hope that is within us. It's a living hope, as we read in the book of Hebrews. Purifieth himself, even as He, Jesus Christ, is pure. So these two verses, in addition to being a child of God, ours is a life of expectancy and anticipation. We see in verse 2 that, or in verse 1, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. The reason the world does not know us, the reason the world does not understand, is because the world knows not Christ. They are ignorant concerning Christ. They are estranged from Christ, and being estranged from Christ, that of course leads to their ignorance. And they count it, 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4, they count it strange that we do not run with them. They count it strange that we do not act like they do. They count it strange that we do not think like they do. And we become the problem. And that's where we are today. Those who think along biblical lines, they are the problem as far as the world is concerned, as far as the political establishment is concerned. But John goes on to say that this shouldn't disturb us. This fact that the world does not know us, this fact that the world does not understand us, this fact that we become the enemy, that we become the problem, this should not disturb us. This should not discourage us, because we have hope. We have an expectancy. We have an anticipation. And again, Your hope is only as good as the facts that it is built upon. If your hope is going to be good, it has to have something solid to back it up. You have to have a reason to hope for something. And our reason for our expectancy and our anticipation is the Word of God. Now, notice, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, that's our expectancy. That's our anticipation. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Again, that's another branch of our expectancy, another branch of our anticipation. We are going to be like Christ. We shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope within him, again, this is our hope, and this is an assurance. So all through the Word of God, we see that the life of a saved individual is a life of expectancy. It is a life of anticipation. My expectancy, my anticipation, the hope that I have is not based upon the direction of this world. That's why so many today are so disappointed, because everything they hoped in is changing. Everything that they place their hopes in, they place their expectation and their anticipation, is being removed, is being taken away. And that upsets people. I mean, you take away their hope, and people are going to get upset. You take away hope, and people become despondent. And despondent people are likely to do just about anything. But for the child of God, our expectancy, our anticipation, our hope is not based on anything in this world. Our anticipation, our expectancy is based on the fact of Christ's return. And all through the Word of God, particularly the New Testament, it is presented as fact that Jesus Christ will return. Jesus Christ promised to return. Because Jesus Christ promised to return, that gives us an expectancy. That gives us an anticipation. That gives us a hope. Notice in John chapter 14, John 14, and again, Jesus in John 14, 15, 16, also chapter 13, He is talking to the apostles. He is talking to His church. Now the application, there is application that can be made to all the saved. But you miss a blessing and you miss some truth if you do not apply these words to the church. And Jesus said in John 14 verse 3, and if I go, in verse 2, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, you can take that of all the saved, and it's true. The Lord has gone to prepare a place for all the saved. That's very true. But that is especially true of the Lord's church. The bridegroom has gone away to prepare a special place for His bride, a special place for His church. So, all the saved have hope. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place. But those who are saved and make up one of the Lord's churches, they have even more hope. They have even more expectancy and anticipation. He goes on to say, and if I go and prepare a place for you, a special place, that New Jerusalem, that we read of in Revelation 21 and 22, I will come again. That's our expectancy. That's our hope. Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's true of all the saved. Jesus Christ will come. He will receive all the saved unto Himself. But that is especially true of the Lord's church. That is especially true of the bride, that where I am, there ye may be also. So Jesus Christ promised to return. That is the basis of our hope. That is the basis of our expectancy and anticipation. Notice in Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, and also verse 20. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." Verse 20, "Surely I come quickly. The desire of the saints, even so come." The "even so" is "I come quickly." Even so, come. Come quickly. Come quickly. There is no reason for any child of God to desire that Christ not come right now. No reason whatsoever. For those who say, "Well, I don't want the Lord to come because so-and-so isn't saved." You're not looking at it right. You're not looking at it through the eyes of the sovereignty of God. There is no reason that you should not want the Lord to come right now. And this is our anticipation. This is our expectation. And Jesus often spoke of his return, which, and every time Jesus speaks of his return, that should increase our expectancy. That should increase and make greater our anticipation. That should give us more hope. Jesus is coming. And he spoke over and over and over again of his return. Notice in Mark chapter 13. Mark 13. Verse 32. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." We can know the seasons, but we do not know the day. We do not know the hour. "No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed." Because of this, because we know not the day nor the hour, take heed. In other words, give earnest attention. Most of us live most of our days not thinking about the return of Jesus Christ. How many days we live and it does not cross our mind, this could be the day. And if it doesn't even cross our mind, I guarantee you that you're not watching. We're to be watching. You watch when you're expecting. If you're expecting company to come to your house at a certain time, you begin to watch. You begin to look out the window. And you're watching. Why are you watching? Because you're expecting. And when we're expecting Christ to come, we'll be watching. But most are not watching, because most aren't expecting. But the life of a child of God should be a life of expectancy. If it is a life of expectancy, it should be a life of watching. So he says, take heed or give attention. Watch and pray. What are we to pray? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. We're to be praying for the return of Jesus Christ. Most of the time, the only time God's people pray for the return of Christ is when they want to get out of some kind of mess they're in. But we're to always be praying, even so come, Lord Jesus. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants. I believe that has application to the church as well. Gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore. There again we're told to watch. Why? Because we're to be expecting. For you know not when the master of the house cometh. It can be at evening, it can be at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping, in other words, not watching, not paying attention. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So that those words should give us an expectancy, an anticipation of the return of Christ. Then notice in Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through verse 40. Let your loins be girded about. Now when they girt their loins, it's because they were getting ready to do a work. What he's saying is, be prepared to work. Be prepared to labor. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Now, if they are waiting for their master, they are expecting him to come. Again, ours should be a life of expectancy, a life of anticipation. They wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. That is, they waiting to receive him. They are waiting anxiously to see him. And so ours should be a life of waiting anxiously for the return of Christ. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, it's not if he cometh, when he cometh, shall find watching, or watching in this way. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered or permitted his house to be broken through. Again, the return of Christ should only be as a thief in the night to the unsaved. Not to the saved, because we're expecting him. We're expecting him to come. Be ye therefore ready also. Be ye ready. Watching, waiting, implies that we are ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Other than being saved, there are many who are saved that, other than the fact that they're saved, they're really not ready. They're not ready for the return of Jesus Christ. We ought to make sure every single day that we're ready. If you know that company's coming to your house, you make sure that everything's ready. You make sure you're ready. You make sure you're dressed. You make sure of a lot of things because you're expecting. And again, ours should be a life of readiness because we're expecting. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then notice in Luke chapter 21, Luke 21, verse 34. Again, take heed to yourselves in light of the return of Jesus Christ. Again, we are told to give attention. Pay attention. Lest at any time, that is, if you do not pay attention, if you do not give heed to yourselves, you are in danger of your hearts being overcharged or being burdened and weighted down. And how many today of God's people, they live their life not as a life of expectancy, not as a life of anticipation, not as a life of hope, but they live their lives burdened and weighted down because they're not expecting. With surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, these are the things that weigh us down. And so that day come upon you, that is the day of Christ, the day of his return, unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Again, watch ye therefore, and pray always. Again, what are we to be praying? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Pray always. When you're having the best time of your life on this earth, you ought to be praying, Lord, come. Because however good it may be on this earth, it's far, far better when Jesus returns. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So we place our expectancy, our anticipation, our hope in the repeated message of Jesus Christ, which is watch and pray. For I am coming. Watch and pray. We also base our expectation and anticipation upon the words spoken by angels. Notice in the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and verse 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he, Jesus, went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In other words, he's coming back. Don't get discouraged. Don't get defeated. He's coming back. And therefore, we are to live a life of expectancy. The writer of Hebrews said that the word of angels was steadfast in Hebrews 2 and verse 2. The word of the angels is steadfast. In other words, it's sure. And the angel said, this same Jesus shall return again. That's where our expectancy lies. So we're not putting our expectancy, we're not basing our expectancy, we're not basing our anticipation on something that is not firm, something that is not solid. We're basing it upon the promise of Jesus Christ. We're basing it upon the word of angels. We are basing it upon the words of those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write over and over and over again of the return of Jesus Christ. And there are many, many verses along those lines, but we've run out of time. But again, we are children of God, and we are to live a life of expectancy, a life of anticipation. Therefore, we're not to be distraught. We're not to be discouraged. We're not to be in a spirit of despair, because we have this hope, this living hope that is in us, that Jesus Christ is going to return. That's why we can look at death, and we can face death, and we can experience the death of loved ones differently than the world. And though we may have sorrow, we do not sorrow as the world sorrows, because we have a hope. We have an expectancy. We have an anticipation that is based upon facts, based upon what we read in the Word of God. So may we live a life of expectancy, and we'll continue to look at this next week. Let's look to the Lord.